receiving the Goshen anointing. And I want everybody else to say after me, receiving the Goshen anointing. Now, I want you to say that again, because an anointing will be given to somebody tonight of Goshen. And this is the most important that we share this, because it gives us a basis. You know, there are people who say, not of Goshen, they have got no clue. So this is what I want you to know about it. What I'll be dealing here with is, as I did say in the beginning, that it is always important to understand the power that is in understanding what's going to happen in the next year before you actually venture into that year. And tonight, as I said, we'll be discussing over this subject matter, the Goshen anointing, receiving the Goshen anointing. This is going to become one of the most interesting subjects for us to discuss. We have heard people saying, we are going for not of Goshen, and not actually basically understanding the definition of that word, Goshen. So, what do we really mean? And when we are dealing with the word Goshen, and what is the principle or the revelation behind this? And so we're going to get into it. All right, so we're going to go into Genesis 47. We're going to check from verse 9, 10, and 11. All right? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days or the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. In verse 11, and Joseph saluted his father and his brothers, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. In verse 13, it continues, now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. Now, go back to verse 11, King James. And Joseph blessed his father and his brothers and his brethren, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to see something, that word there, possession of land. So there was a special land in Egypt. This land is known as the best land. The best land in the land of Ramesses. Now, so Ramesses was a fellow, and we all know about him. So in the land of Ramesses, as a fellow had commanded. But we have a big problem now. Okay? We go to chapter 45, verse 10. What is this land first? We want to go there. What is this land? So, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy heads and all that thou hast. So this is Joseph speaking. Now from verse 9, he says, thou hast you and go up to my father and say unto him, thus says thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, and unto thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Now, What I want you to get here is, so we understand that there was a moment when there was hunger. There was a very big problem. And this very big problem happened not only in Egypt, but also in Canaan. That the brothers of Joseph left Canaan looking for food and looking for help. And they even go to Egypt. But in Egypt too, there was a problem. But there was a solution. And what was the solution? And the solution was that there was a man there. His name was Joseph. And when they arrived there, if you're following me, raise up a hand. Just raise up a hand if you're following. Now, the Bible says when they arrived there, the Bible says, Joseph said, you will dwell in the land of Goshen, the best land. You, your children, your children's children shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Now, I have a very big problem here because most people do not understand what is Goshen and what we are dealing with that. So today becomes very important that we begin to share this subject matter as we go. Now, so the land of Goshen, the word Goshen, it has got different meanings. But the most common meaning of the word Goshen is the word plenty. Okay? If you're writing like that, plenty. Okay? If you just join me now, I just want you to know that I am ministering from my prayer mountain, and it's an honor to have you online, and it's not a coincidence that you are actually watching this program. The Lord has an appointment with you. As I pray here at the prayer mountain, God will touch you and God will answer you. So the word Goshen, it simply means plenty, but it has got two meanings. But tonight I want us to discuss this word plenty. So the word Goshen, it actually means plenty. It also symbolizes divine favor. It also symbolizes a haven in the midst of adversity. Now, there is a problem, or there are issues, there are problems. Goshen experience or Goshen anointing, it is what will separate you from the rest. There's an anointing known as Goshen. Okay? So it means plenty, and we're going to look at the other word of Goshen another day. Okay? Because it means other things as well. But tonight, we're going to look at the word plenty. This word, it is not just a physical word. It is a spiritual word. Because we're going to see this Goshen in a very broader way in our discussions as we go. And why would this place be called Goshen? And who named this place Goshen? And why is it called Goshen? Now, so we'll be discussing those things as we go. But the first thing that I want you to understand is that Goshen was a place where Joseph said to his brothers, take my father Jacob, bring him over, and we shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and we shall dwell near me. And when we read the scripture in chapter 47, when now Pharaoh was officially releasing the place, it is mentioned as the best land of Ramesses. If you study history or geography, you will learn about this Pharaoh Ramesses. He is the greatest king of all time in Egypt. And if you read now the pyramids of Egypt, it is him who was building those pyramids. Now, imagine this man before he even died. He had the best land. And that best land that he had, it is the land that he actually gave his son, another fellow, which was his son. It is the land that he actually gave the people of Israel, the 12 sons of Joseph, of Jacob, were given this best land. But I have a very big problem here. They were being given this land when there was a famine, when there was a crisis, when there was a problem in the land of Egypt. Now, so one must be asking a question. Why is it called the night of Goshen? One thing that I want you to understand is that the world is turning. All right? The world is turning. Things are not getting better in almost every country. The economies are actually collapsing. And next year is going to become worse. But here it is. When there's a Goshen anointing, it is what will separate you from the rest. The Goshen anointing, it is what will have you to have a different experience from others. And if there will be people who will be struggling next year, you will not be involved amongst them. Because Goshen symbolizes, it has a symbol of plenty. Now, so what happens in Goshen? This is what I want to look at. Number one, the first symbol of Goshen is protection. Somebody say protection. The first symbol we're looking at is protection. Now, we may have somebody here who's watching me now, and you might be wondering, actually, what is the prophet talking about? What is he talking about? Well, there'll be need of protection next year. Okay? There'll be need of protection next year. It is very important to discuss this matter on protection. Somebody say protection. Say it again. Say protection. So, what do we mean when we are dealing with this word? Now, when we go into the scripture, we're going to read together from the book of Exodus 8, right? From verse 22 to 25. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. Now, hear that word. I will do what? Set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. Whose people dwell there? God's people. That no swarms or flies shall be there. Now, a fly in the spirit, prophetically, if some of you are students of Isos, a fly or flies, if you dream flies at night, or you have a vision of flies, flies represents a demonic evil attack. Now, the Lord says, I will set apart Goshen, that no swarms or flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. So already we have got a promise, and the promise is, as far as Goshen is concerned, I will guard Goshen, I will protect Goshen, and I will make sure that no demonic entities, no flies, goes in the land of Goshen. But where was Goshen? Goshen was in Egypt. Now, everybody will experience it, but no one in the land of Goshen. Now, there's an anointing as I'm talking to you right now that God can actually pour unto you. That in the next year that you are actually going, from this season where we are standing right now, you can actually live a life where God can hide you in the land of Goshen. It is a place of protection. God can just defend you, protect you, and make sure nothing comes to your direction. As you're watching right now, I decree and declare the Goshen anointing of protection. There shall be an anointing that even you'll be surprised what is going on. Financially, the Lord will protect you. Spiritually, God shall defend you. I decree, in the sickness, you shall not see them. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. Now. So the Bible says it's a place of protection. In Exodus 8, verse 22, all right, it said what? It said, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen. So God will set it apart, in which my people dwell, that no swarms or flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. And in verse 23, the scripture continues, it says, I will make a difference, my God. I will make what? A difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign shall be. In Goshen, it is a place where God makes the difference between the people in the streets, between the people in other offices, and his people. Do you understand this? God said, I will make a difference. Raise up your hand and say, oh Lord, put a difference, put a mark between me and those who don't fear your name. Oh God, answer my prayer. Let there be a difference. Now, God said, I'll put up a difference. And that's the most important part. He said, I'll put up a difference between you, between my people and Pharaoh's people. And he says, tomorrow this sign shall be. And in verse 24, and the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. My God. He said, no, you do not have to attack me. Go back to Goshen and sacrifice to your God. Go and worship your God. This is a man who didn't believe in Yahweh. But because of the Goshen anointing, he said, you know what? Go and worship to your God. Go and worship your God. God puts up a difference when he releases an anointing of Goshen. There's a special anointing. And I'm telling you this. There's a special anointing of Goshen. If you receive this anointing, it makes you to operate from the prophetic advantage, from the Goshen advantage. All right? It is what brings in the differentiation from others. You receive an anointing that will set you apart. It will make you get the divine protection. You know, when you start a business, right? If you're in the business world, there's what you'll be studying about advantages, all right? There's what is known as the competitive advantage. They say, what is your competitive advantage? Assuming that what you are starting, if you have a business, there might be other businesses similarly to what you're doing. Now, what is your advantage that will win the competition of others? All right, so now they're called competitive advantage, right? And we have new techniques in business which are introduced as advantages. So one may say, my competitive advantage is our price. So the price can bring in the difference, okay, between you and your neighbor with the same product. Okay, so that becomes your advantage, right? So you have advantage of pricing or sometimes quality. So in other words, you have an advantage over others. Okay, so what does that mean? What it means is that if you are a businesswoman or a businessman and you do not know about these advantages and make use of these advantages, you will be saying, I have got businesses and it's not moving. Why? Because in the natural world, there are advantages. In the business world, there are advantages. You must tap into those advantages, whether it's qualitative or quantitative, it doesn't matter, but there are some advantages which you must use over others, all right? However, in the prophetic, there is also what we call prophetic advantages. Now, if you are in the natural, in the business world, and you do not have any advantage on your business, no matter how good your business is, no matter how best your products are, but because you do not have an advantage, you may lose on the markets because there's competition. In other words, you must intentionally, it must be a deliberate move to make use of the advantages available. So you must look, what could be my advantage? All right? It is the same way in the prophetic. If you do not make use of the advantages in the prophetic that you have, no matter how you pray, no matter how you fast, but if you do not make use of the advantages we have, you will lose. A very good example. Let's go into leadership. All right, so we have got competition. This man is campaigning to become a king. This man is campaigning to become a king. And these two are all campaigning to become a king. Now what happens is, this other person is famous. He's so popular. Okay? He's so popular. Let's talk about Adonijah and Solomon. Now, Adonijah, he had all the priests behind him. Who were the priests? Priests were the decision makers in Israel. If priests endorse you, no one can stop it. You are a king. It's like nowadays. If he judges, endorse you to say, we agree that he is the next president, it means you are the next president. So in those days, there were the priests who would endorse a person as the next leader. Now, they all endorsed him, Adonijah. So he had advantage of the priesthood. But Solomon had a prophetic advantage. What was the prophetic advantage? He had a prophet. Am I talking to somebody here? Who went to the mother and he said, "Yes, I will make your son the next king." It doesn't matter. At that point, Adonijah was in the stadium where priests were actually making him to hold the Bible and he was swearing in as the next king. But they didn't know that there was another person with an advantage. So what I'm trying to say is, if you do not have an advantage, it's a big problem. So what advantage did Solomon had? He had his mother who was connected to a prophet. And the prophet was changing and manipulating things in the realms of the spirit. And the prophet said, "I decree and declare that your son is going to become the next king." Now, so Solomon took advantage because he had a prophetic advantage. Now, where there is a man or a woman who has a prophetic advantage, another one does not have a prophetic advantage, trust you me, even if you go to competition, the winner is already known even before the competition has begun. Ah, you didn't hear me. If I go into a competition with anyone in this world, I promise you, I already know who's going to win, and I'm going to win. Do you know why? Because I have the prophetic advantage. I have a word. I have a sure word that God has given me that I'm going to win. So even if I go into a competition with a person, if that person is not prophetic, it means he has no advantage in the prophetic. So if we begin to compete, guess what? Adonijah, as he was in the stadium, the Bible says people began to leave. The priests who were about to who had endorsed him, they also said, "You know what? I've got something to do at home. I'm leaving the stadium." Everybody left. They didn't understand what made them leave. At the very same time, Solomon was crowned as a king. You cannot compete with a woman who has a prophetic advantage. You cannot compete with a man who has a prophetic advantage. Our prophecy becomes a prophetic advantage. So if I have got a business that I am making use of my prophetic advantages. Wow. I'm talking to somebody here. If I have a ministry, if I have a church and I'm making use of my prophetic advantages, no matter who can say, "My spiritual father, Prophet Reuben Angel, declared, defeated Major One, you will never be." I have a word that speaks into my life. Wherever I go, I have got an advantage. I have got a prophetic message. If you're following, raise up a hand. If you're following, raise up a hand. So imagine this, that in the business world, there are advantages. If you do not take advantage of those advantages, guess what? You will lose, because you must take advantage of your environment. So what is it that is your advantage? Some of you, it could be an issue to do with your price, the cost, the quality, the quantity, all those type of things could become an advantage of your business, could become an advantage of your endeavor. So whatsoever you do in the business world, there are advantages. If you don't tap in those advantages, do you know what happens? You will lose on the markets, because in the markets, they require men and women who take care of or who make use of advantages. Now, in the prophetic as well, if you do not take use of your advantages, all you know is, "I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. We are praying with Major One tonight. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Major One is praying. Oh, receive. I receive, my father. I receive." And you do not take use. You do not make use of the prophetic advantages. You will lose. It doesn't matter how much you're fasting, how much you're praying. You must begin to understand, this is my advantage. Okay? There are three advantages in the spirit. There's the prophetic advantage, there is the blessing advantage, and there's a covenant advantage. So if you look at what God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, God said, leave your father and your mother to a place I'll show you there. I will make you into a great nation. So God prophesied into the life of Abraham. He had a prophetic advantage. I will make you a nation. So he already knew, wherever I'm going, I'll become a nation. Two, God said, anyone who shall curse you, I'll curse. So he had a covenant. God gave him a covenant as an advantage. And thirdly, he had a blessing. God said, and in blessing, I shall bless you, and you shall become a blessing. And I'll bless those who shall bless you. So he has a blessing, he has a covenant, and he has a prophecy. These three, if you have these three, if you have these three and you are making use of them, you will never be defeated, you will never lose, you will win, you will go on top of the mountain, nothing will stop you. Nothing can stop you. And that's the problem. We've got believers who don't make use of their advantages. You have a blessing. God says, I'll bless you. You have advantages. God said what? I make a covenant with you. So there is a covenant that God makes. There is a blessing that God gives. And there's a prophecy that you have. So when God makes these things, he gives you a covenant, he gives you a prophecy, and he gives you a blessing. It's what we're talking about now, that these are things you must make use of as your advantages in the realms of the Spirit. Because if you do not make use of these things, you will be praying, you will be fasting, and you will be where you are. That's why in the business world, it is very important that you take advantage of what is happening. Okay? So you have got advantages on competition. In the realms of the Spirit too, what advantage are you using? I'm starting a project. What advantage do I have? I am a blessed woman. I am a blessed man. I know I'm doing this because I have a blessing of God. Already, I am already separated. I am already different with other people because I am making use of my advantage. I am blessed. I'm doing ministry. People are fighting me everywhere. I'm not shaken because I have a covenant with God that this ministry will never finish. This ministry will never end. So I don't answer people because of what? I have an advantage. I have got a covenant with God. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? I have a prophecy. So already we are different. And these are the things that believers do not make use of when they are doing things. Now, when we are dealing with these things, it's very important that as a child of God, you must understand these things. If you hear me, wherever you are, somebody say amen. Come on, somebody shout again. Say amen. Your amen is all loud and clear. Shout again. Say amen. Lama hande frehide kevos. So it's very important to understand. Very important to understand. Say, I have an advantage. So if a person looks at me, they wonder like, how does he do it? Hey, I have an advantage in the Spirit. And I make use of those advantages. So when God, now, imagine now, you are having another advantage of Goshen anointing. So God says, I'm going to separate, I'm going to show the world the difference between my people and those who are not my people. How will I God do it? He says, I will not allow any fly to pass through Goshen. We read that. I will not allow any attack to pass through Goshen. I will do this sign for people to see there is a difference between my people in Goshen and the people living in the world. And this is why tonight we are praying, and I'm praying with you, for this anointing to differentiate you. God said, I'll put a difference. Come on, somebody say difference. Go back to that scripture. It says, I'll put a difference. Verse 20, from verse 22, right? I'll make a difference. Why are you advantaged? The difference. What is the difference? So you're one person, one business can do better than others because of difference. I told you that. Difference. What differentiates you? What differentiates you? Oh, wow. What differentiates us is that this hotel, you have to drive there and check in. Well, that other hotel, they will pick you at airport. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. So this other hotel, they'll be like, we don't understand why we have no customers. This other hotel, they'll even say, it's fully booked. There must be something they're doing different that your business is not doing. Am I talking to somebody here? And so what did God say in this context? What would be different? The difference was so simple. He will not allow the attacks to come at Goshen. Am I talking to somebody here? He says, I'll put up a difference. I will not allow the attacks to come at Goshen. There's an anointing. There's an anointing that when God gives you, he makes you different. That what others are facing, you don't face it. So you have an advantage. Now, we'll raise up a hand wherever you are. Let's make a prayer. I pray for an activation of the anointing, the Goshen anointing. Anyone, wherever they're watching me from, as I stand at my prayer mountain here, there's going to be an anointing of protection. There's going to be an anointing of preservation. It doesn't matter what you're facing, but God is putting you in a place of Goshen. Spiritually, God is putting you in a place of preservation. God is putting you in a place where every attack, diseases, sicknesses will perish and they'll flee from you as if in terror. I decree and declare that you shall be differentiated. You will not look like others. You will not perform like others. You will not walk like others. I pray in the name of Jesus as you're watching right now. As you're watching right now, wherever you're watching me from, say, as I raise my hand. In the name of Jesus. Come on, say it again. Say, as I raise my hand. In the name of Jesus, I receive this anointing of Goshen. Say it again. I receive this anointing of Goshen. I speak preservation over my life. Preservation, protection in the name of Jesus.